Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. But today I want to talk about the a blood covenant mindset. Seems like that's been kind of a common theme today, a mindset, right? And John says in John 1:29, this is actually, you know, the disciple John, but he's talking about John the Baptist here, right? John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, and what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for taking away the sin of the world. Amen. This means the price Jesus paid on the cross was once, somebody say, once and for all. Once and for all. The power of sin has been broken and canceled. He is a good God. He loves us. Amen. He wants to bless us. But he took away the sin of the world. When that means take, it means to get into one's hold or possession by voluntary action. What Jesus did, he wasn't forced to do it. Amen? He did it by an act of voluntary action. He made a decision to go to the cross for you and for me, for all the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he did it by a voluntary action, a voluntary sacrifice that he made for us. And he got into his hands or control the curse, right? He took control of my sins. He took control of the power of sin to destroy me, and he destroyed it. Glory to God. When his body was destroyed on that day, that horrible day for him, wonderful day for me, horrible day for him, right? He destroyed the power of sin once and for all in his own body. Glory to his name forever, right? And in doing so, by him taking possession of my sin, he gave me possession of his righteousness. He gave me possession of his holiness. He gave me possession of heaven, right? This is glorious news. This is why we come to church. This is why we celebrate. This is why church is a celebration every week. Amen? We don't save it for Easter Sunday. We celebrate every week. Amen? Why? Because the power of sin has been broken by my Jesus' voluntary sacrifice, nailed it to the cross, and I am free. Amen? Luke 22:19-20. Let's look at the blood covenant here. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Now, it's interesting that this was Passover, right? And Jesus right here is changing or really fulfilling Passover. From now on, you don't do this in memory of Moses. You do this from now on, it's about me. Every time you take this, you're remembering what I'm about to do for you. And he says this in verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Somebody say new covenant. Right? In my blood, which is shed for you. In my blood. You don't need a lamb anymore. You don't need to go sacrifice a little lamb and pour his blood out. Amen. Jesus' blood doesn't cover your sin the way the blood of a lamb would. Jesus' blood washes your sins away. Just as if the word justified should remind you, just as if I'd never sinned. Glory to God. That's wonderful. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the word covenant there, the blood covenant, and we talked last week about that meaning contract. One of the translations is contract. An agreement between two or more parties for the doing or not doing of something specified. And the Lord reminded me that covenant is just not a one-sided thing. Amen? Covenant is a two-sided. It's a relationship. He cleansed me of my sin, so therefore I repent of my sin, right? He loved me so much that he went to the cross and died for me. I love him so much, I live for him and crucify my flesh when necessary. Amen? Glory to God. That doesn't sound like much fun, does it? Amen? Well, we're free. There's some things we're free from. And the Lord will show us those things occasionally in our lives. You know, son, there's some things you need to be crucifying in your flesh, right? Amen? Anything that bothers him should bother me. Amen? Right? Because that's covenant. Hallelujah. And then we got to watch till we get into this measure up thing we've been talking about today. Because guess what? Compared to him, none of us are even close in the natural, right? But this is a love thing. We got to remind ourselves, this is a love relationship, first and foremost. And guess, you know, the people that just get engaged and they're arguing who loves you more, who loves you more, right? Guess who loves more? I'll never love him more than he loves me. Just surrender to that. Amen? But that's no reason for us to quit and just go live however we want to live. Amen? Come to Jesus. Just say, come to Jesus. Just keep coming to Jesus. And remember, he loves you. Amen? He'll help you with whatever you're dealing with in your life. Amen? And it's a relationship. And relationships are, we're supposed to be growing closer together to him. Growing closer to him. Which means I'm growing farther away from other things because I'm growing closer and closer to the Lord. Amen? Look at Luke 22. We're in that chapter right now. Let's go over to verses 39. We're going to start from there. Coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. This is after their Passover meal, right? When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, somebody say agony, right? He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Amen. Those disciples are human beings too, right? It's the middle of the night. They're exhausted. They're wore out. They know something's up with Jesus, but they're not sure what. they're sleeping, right? And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter temptation." Amen. So I want to look at the word agony, though. In this, we're going to focus on that. It's defined, some words here to look at are anguish. It says Jesus was in agony, right? It also means things like to compete for a prize. Don't you know you are the prize that he was competing for right there? You are what made it all worth it to him. Redeeming my life out of hell. Amen. Glory to God. The devil wanted that prize, and Jesus wanted it more. Amen. To contend with an adversary. Don't you know death is an adversary? Satan is the adversary, right? And Jesus right there was contending with the adversary. He's contending with, you know, Lucifer, the fallen archangel. And he's a man. So what happens? Another angel appears and strengthens him. See, God is so wonderful what he's doing here for us. Amen? Another word for agony, to endeavor to accomplish something. Don't you know he was accomplishing the greatest thing that could ever be accomplished in the history of the world? It's called your salvation. So he's endeavoring to accomplish this thing, but he's at the 1 yard line. And right there, all the resistance of hell was breaking loose right there, right? Amen? And he knew he was going to have to be separated from his father, that he'd never known that before, right? And because he became separated from the father, you and I never have to be ever again. That's glorious news. That's why no matter how awful somebody sins, how awful somebody feels like they've missed it, you'll never, I think Gloria Copeland say this, and I'll paraphrase, but she said, you'll never sin enough to outdo the work that Jesus did at the cross for you. And it's like, man, that is so true. Hebrews 8, 6 through 12. That's what I'm looking for. Praise Jesus. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. Somebody say a better covenant, right? Which was established on better promises. Somebody say better promises, right? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That all includes us, right? As the church. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Talking about Passover here, right? Because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, said the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So the powerful thing with this blood covenant is this is God writing his word on our minds and on our hearts. In those days of Moses, they were obeying external commandments, right, and so forth. But this is something where God is now, by what the action that Jesus is taking in establishing this new blood covenant, now he's putting his law and his word and the love of him on the inside of us. Amen. It's a powerful thing, this blood covenant. Amen. And this is a glorious thing that Jesus is doing so that you and I can be full of the word of God on the inside of us. Amen. We're not following an external leading. We're following an internal leading of the Spirit of God, the love of God, the word of God on the inside of us. You see, back then, they didn't have this, did they? They had a piece of rock and oral tradition and so forth, and men's teaching, which was great. Amen? But this is greater. Jesus fulfilled all of that stuff. Now you and I can be full of the Spirit of God, be in the Word of God, and just as we prayed over the kids today, that we will recognize the lies. Because don't you know this world has, even religion, has lies in it. And church and Christians, believers in Jesus, have to be smart sheep to recognize the lie and stay with the shepherd. Otherwise, we will be led astray and become a snack for a wolf. Amen? And that's not what this thing's all about. Amen? Well, that's because Jesus did this wonderful work to get his word on the inside of me. Amen? So we have to be a part of, you know, it's like, a child again. At some point, the child has to start feeding themselves. Get in the word for yourself. Get hungry after it. Again, with my personal eating and so forth, I've been learning that there are some things I need to be less hungry for. That I might feel like I need to have. I know. You don't understand, Lord. I need that donut. Right now, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's coffee 30 and donut 30. And I'm trying not to gain 30. Amen? No, you don't, son. You need a handful of almonds. Okay. But you know what? I plan on being here for a while, all right? So I got to listen to that voice. Amen? And when I'm eating right, I don't need snacks through the day because I'm eating things that keep me full.
Oh.
Well, to me, this is a revelation, right? And to Christians, we can't just feed on junk spiritually, right? Be watching trash and talk shows and gossip. Now let's go to Romans 8, even though we were just there a moment ago. Verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, it's important to distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit does not condemn you, make you feel bad about yourself. The devil does that. Religion does that. People may do that. You may do that. But this is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict me. He'll turn the light on something. But he will encourage me and build me up. So many times in my life, I'm sure you can testify too, that I was, you know, felt like, Lord, I just blew it so bad here. And he'll talk to me instantly about something that's completely not even addressing that. Just like, yeah, but tomorrow. And, you know, it's an uplifting, encouraging word is what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit is uplifting and encouraging, not condemning. Jesus took all that condemnation on himself. In that garden right there, he took all the condemnation, all the guilt, all the hardship, all the labor out of my life. Glory to his name. So don't let religion or lies put it back on you. He already paid for it. Amen? We stayed at a nice hotel this week, and there was a huge breakfast yesterday. And guess what? I didn't offer to pay for it when I went down. Because why? It was already paid for. I didn't feel bad about it. I could have made better choices in what I ate, right? But guess what? It was paid for, right? So don't let the enemy put guilt on you and condemnation on you about the past or things that you did or thought or about yourself. Why? Because Jesus took that on himself. You are free forever from this thing called condemnation. Amen? Glory to his name. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Somebody say free, right? From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did. See, this is what we're talking about. This is the difference between the old covenant and the blood covenant, right? God did. Somebody say, God did. Right? Amen? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Oh, there's a good word. Your account, your sin account, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're clean. The balance is zero. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore, right? He condemned sin. See, sin is what's condemned, not you, not me. Sin is what's condemned. Praise the Lord, right? That the righteous requirement, verse 4 of the law, might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. And we read the rest of those verses a few minutes ago. But this is, you know, we're kind of closing up here, but we're talking about being spiritually minded. Jesus, by his work that he did for us, enabled us to have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, down on the inside of us now. And what does that do? It strengthens you to keep up. It strengthens you to keep on. It strengthens me to get back up again if I fall. Right? If. How about when? The next time I trip, guess what I'm going to do? The same thing I did the past 7, 8, 9, 10, 12,000 times I tripped. I'm going to get back up again. Amen? Why? Because Jesus got back up once for all. Amen? And guess what? Just like a little baby, what does a little baby do when they're learning to walk? And what do? They keep getting back up again. And guess what you do? The more you walk with Jesus, the fewer falls you'll have. And other people will look at you and say, wow, look at that. I remember them when they fill in the blank. And yet now, praise the Lord, right? But what does it have to do with? It has to be this thing called being spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Minded means, I looked this up too. I think this was maybe a dictionary.com definition, but I like this definition. Set the affection on. Regard, think, be of one / of the same mind. Now that takes effort. For me to make sure I'm one and of the same mind as Jesus in every area of my life, right? The Holy Spirit helps us. Like we said at the beginning, this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our feeding on the Word of God and obeying the voice of God. We will be of the one and same mind of Jesus. Amen. Our thinking will be renewed daily. The Word of God talks a lot about renewing the mind. How do we do it? By the Word of God. I don't renew my mind watching Judge Judy or the Dan Patrick Show. God bless him, you know. The Lord loves all those people. But that's not where my mind is getting renewed, right? Amen? No, it's the words of God that will renew my mind daily, right? We regard him. I regard him higher than these other things. I regard God higher than other voices in this world. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. But the main one there to me is, where is my affection? Who do you love? That's what it comes down to, right? He did this for me because he loves me so much. And why do I obey him and follow him and study and read his word? Not so I can earn his approval, right? Not so I can get a perfect score. I was not an A-plus student, guys. But I married one. So who is smarter? Okay, I'm just kidding. But guess what? We're not doing these things to get God's approval of us. We do these things because we love him. And because we know he loves us. That is the bottom line. That's what being spiritually minded, Jesus minded, is about. My affection is set on him. Higher than my family, higher than my kids, higher than my wife, higher than my job, higher than the church, higher than myself, right? Higher than my appetites, higher than what my flesh wants to do. I'll tell you what, if people that call themselves, you know, homosexual, for example, would just see this, there would be a flat-out revival. When they realize, you mean I don't have to be this way? I just have to turn my affections onto Jesus and take them off of this. This is one example, right? They've been lied to, many of them. The church has lied to many of them. Lies, right? That's just one example. Where is our affection? Right? Our affection has to be here on the truth of God's word. First and foremost, no matter what my flesh is crying out for, what did Jesus do in the garden? He said, no. No to some things. So he could say yes to some things. Amen? And you and me, that's where this the suffering part of our faith comes in. Is, yeah, there's going to be some things I have to endure for a season that my flesh wants to do, wants to say, wants to eat, whatever it is, you know. But if I just say yes to Jesus and keep putting the flesh down, what am I doing today? I'm putting my flesh down. Amen. And we keep our eyes on him, keep our faith on him, stay locked on his eyes, keep my affections on him, keep feeding myself the word of God, keep studying his word, staying in it, staying at it. Look out, devil. I'll tell you what. If a group of people starts thinking that way and living that way, our own lives, amen, marvelous things. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to the Lord and just begin to thank him and praise him for the power of his word down on the inside of you. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the covenant that we have with you today, Jesus. We receive it by faith. We receive your words. We receive your Holy Spirit, God. Just pray this after me. Say, Father God, I receive this word today. I thank you for the price you paid so that I can be free in every area of my life. I set my affection on you today, Jesus, and I will set it there daily and hourly and momently in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.